I'm wondering how many of you are tired yet? I mean, physically, sure. I think my microphone gave up the ghost. I sat down. But tired of the story. Tired of the carols. Tired of the wreaths. Tired of the cellophane and the cranberry sauce, if you've opened your presents and eaten. I've seen a couple people shaking their head no, which is the right answer. Good. Because buckle up, there is no time for an after Christmas nap. I wish there was. My God, I do. All there is left to do is act. With the knowledge that God was enfleshed as a human child, born to refugee parents in a beaten down stable, there should be no limit to what we imagine to be possible in this world. Go through the gates, prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Clear it of stones, lift up an ensign over the peoples. The Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth. Say to daughter Zion, see, your salvation comes. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. They shall be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. We get to preach and proclaim and shout with a loud voice that redemption is not at arm's length. It's not somewhere out there. It's not waiting for us to earn it with lives of righteousness and moral perfection. You know, if God was waiting on us to have all the right answers and make all the right choices before we are given grace, well, then we might as well write humanity off and twiddle our thumbs while we wait for the inevitable explosion of the sun. Because if you're anything like me, you're not always going to get it right. I may get it more wrong than you, but I'll leave that to you to decide. That's the thing about this story and this feast. Redemption is here, it's now, and we celebrate it once again on this day. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Today is the day, and now is the season when we are given the opportunity to join the great prophets of old in proclaiming God's news to the world. Because God's gift to us is not just redemption, as awesome as that is, but the gift is also the opportunity to embrace our calling as God's prophets of hope in a broken world. And when I speak of being a prophet, I don't mean being a cheap fortune teller. Somebody fixated only on future events who, if we're being honest, really has no clue as to what the future will bring. Being a prophet, living on this side of Jesus' birth, means being willing to declare to the world that something has happened to it so deeply, so profoundly, that the tide has turned, hope has risen, love has awakened, life has changed. I think of the birth of Jesus kind of like a wound in the heart of this world, but unlike other wounds, this one brings health and salvation. Being a prophet, then, in this sense, doesn't mean predicting future events. It means having the courage and the inspiration to tell a different story, to encourage the people to imagine life as being more than what is seen with the eyes, to declare to a ruling power that their time is up. Another world has come to life. Such was the prophetic witness of Isaiah to his people living in exile, and such is the witness of the poor shepherds on the outskirts of Bethlehem. I kind of like to imagine the shepherds as unassuming people tending sheep by night, with the only light being a sliver of the moon, taking in the comfort of an evening breeze, resting in the normalcy of their lives. But then, voices rang out, proclaiming something radically new. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors. But this is not just a song of praise. It's more than that. It's a prophet's song, declaring peace among those whom God favors, whom we know to be not just a select few, but rather the whole of humanity. It's prophetic because no shepherd living in Palestine under a brutal Roman occupation would have ever imagined the possibility of peace other than the Pax Romana. But here, the angels deliver this song, this message, this prophecy. The shepherds then, with curious hearts set ablaze, go to see this new thing, this child. But they don't just see the child. They don't just come merely as observers. They deliver this prophetic song to Mary and Joseph. When the shepherds saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. I'm a little astounded. Every time I read this story, I am astounded that the shepherds, with their angelic song, are able to minister to Mary, the highly favored lady who had already spoken with angels. But such is the way of God in this new world, using the most unassuming characters to declare that not just a child has been born, but a new world has been born too. Not from a gilded tower, not from a Senate chamber, but from a ragged stable. In the mouths of marginalized shepherds comes the triumphant pronouncement of a new reign full of peace and salvation. That's some seriously good news. But friends, we've also got to reckon with something. The truth that the church no longer enjoys the cultural power it once did. Christendom, cultural Christianity, is dead. It gave up the ghost sometime in the 1960s. But while that may sound ominous to some, it's good news to my ears because it allows us to find and explore new and creative ways to preach this gospel of God's enfleshment in the world. People know the story. That's why I asked if you were tired of it. Everybody seems to know the story. But our world desperately needs more than just a story. They need words of hope and grace and mercy from communities of diverse and disparate people gathered around a table of love and radical hospitality whose eyes reflect a vision of a brighter, more just, more hopeful future. And so while Christendom may be dead, the Christ is not. And so it's our joy and delight to tell a different story to the world, to our county, to our friends and family, a story in which all of God's children participate in this drama of redemption, where everybody has a rightful place in this city not forsaken, where nobody is beyond God's redemptive touch. When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit He poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we have a choice. We can be like the Herods and the priests of the temple who receive this news of Jesus' birth as a threat to comfort. Or we could be like the shepherds who receive this news as something to cherish and celebrate and proclaim to those they encountered. Even when they encountered Mary, the Mother of God, they had something to say to her, which means that we have something to say to people who have already heard this story. Like the world is not going to save itself. And God just isn't going to do all the work for us. So be like those shepherds. Tell the story. Take it out of here. And live your lives in such a way that those who see you will stop in their tracks and say, I want what they have.